Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter 4, Gajendra returns to the spiritual world. Text 2 through 4. Yo sal graha sabai sajja paramaschaya rupadrik mukto devalasha pena huhur gandhara sattama. This is the translation of text 2. There was a beating of kettle drums in the heavenly planets. The inhabitants of Gandharvaloka began to dance and sing, while great sages and inhabitants of Charnaloka and Siddhaloka offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purushottama. Text 3 and 4. The best of the Gandharvas, King Huhu, having been cursed by Devalamuni, had become a crocodile. Now, having been delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he assumed a very beautiful form as a Gandharva. Understanding by whose mercy this had happened, he immediately offered his respectful obeisances with his head, and began chanting prayers just suitable for the transcendental Lord, the Supreme Eternal, who is worshipped by the choicest verses. Purport. The story of how the Gandharva had become a crocodile will be described later. The curse by which the Gandharva took this position was actually a blessing, not a curse. One should not be displeased when a saintly person curses someone, for his curse, indirectly, is a blessing. The Gandharva had the mentality of an inhabitant of the celestial planetary system, and for him to become an associate of the Supreme Lord would have taken millions of long years. However, because he was cursed by Devalarishi, he became a crocodile, and in only one life was fortunate enough to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face and be promoted to the spiritual world to become one of the Lord's associates. Similarly, Gajendra was also delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he was freed from the curse of Agastya Muni. Om Agana Tirmadandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. These histories in Srimad Bhagavatam may make you wonder. You have two personalities who were cursed by persons whom you would consider the greatest of the great. Devalarishi. What does Arjuna say in Bhagavad Gita? Asita, Devala, Vyasa, Swayam Chaiva Bhavishime. It's not only that I am saying that you, Krishna, are the Supreme Brahman, but also the greatest of the sadhus, like Asita, Devalarishi, Vyas. So Arjuna is casting his lot in with these greatest of personalities. But this Devalarishi, it seems, he caused problems. Now just think, according to contemporary standards, was King Huhu really doing anything that bad? What was he doing that provoked Devalamuni to curse him? He was sporting in the water with young ladies. Every man's dream in Kali Yuga. Evidently not only in Kali Yuga, but also amongst the Gandharvas. This is considered topmost pleasure, to sport in sparkling fresh waters, especially those waters available to the Gandharvas, with young ladies. The average man would think, well, that's what young ladies are meant for. That's what the water is meant for. So while sporting in this way, what happened? King Huhu thought he was reaching for the leg of a beautiful young lady, and he happened to grab the leg of Deva Larishi. You got to watch out for the water and what's happening. Who else got in trouble in the water? Nalakuvra and Manigriva. And they were doing activities that in Kali Yuga would be considered the essence of life. They were intoxicated, and they were sporting unclad in the river. And for that, they get cursed by Narada Muni. For pursuing activities that every Kali Yuga man would long for, indeed would consider this is heaven. The question in the 10th canto, in the Krishna Lila, would be, why did Narada Muni curse them? Was he angry? Was he affected by tamoguna? Did he have some kind of trauma from his childhood? Perhaps these days someone would argue that Narada Muni was feeling repressed as a brahmachari, and he was envious of the enjoying spirit, as evidenced by Nalakuvra and Manigriva. So subconsciously, these complexities came out, and he cursed Nalakuvra and Manigriva. They're doing what I really want to do. The mundane analysis would be something like that. So, Narada Muni was being compassionate. He's thinking, these are sons of Kuvera, the treasure of the heavenly planets. Look how low they have fallen. They're so intoxicated, they don't even care that I'm walking by. And they're naked. Whereas the girls who were sporting with Nalakuvra and Manigriva, they saw Narada Muni and they immediately tried to cover up. But the boys, the two brothers, couldn't care less. So Narada Muni cursed them. You're so unconscious. You're so insensitive. You're so unaware of the value of your life. Better you become trees. But of course, Srila Prabhupada points out, this is a simultaneous curse blessing, because Narada Muni also gave them the benediction that you'll be freed from the tree bodies by Krishna himself. You'll get to see Krishna and be freed from this curse. So what would you say? Why couldn't Narada Muni have come up with another way, right? And it makes you wonder, what's so wrong with a bit of material enjoyment? Okay, Nalakuvra and Manigriva got a bit too far out there. It happens, we would say. Things happen in this world. But remember, Narada Muni expected, rightfully so, much higher behavior from these two boys due to their family background and due to their awareness of Vedic culture and proper standards of behavior. The question should be asked, ordinarily, how long would it have taken for those two brothers to meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face? Ordinarily, it wouldn't happen. So this shows the great benefit that comes your way if some or other you cross paths with a Vaishnava. Often the Shastra uses the Sanskrit word yajichchaya, which loosely interpreted could mean by chance. By chance, yajichchaya, Narada Muni, in his tour of the universe, happened upon these two drunken brothers naked in the river with girls. But actually, by Krishna's arrangement, the whole universe is full of contact points with devotees. And just by coming in contact with a devotee, your sojourn through material existence can come to an end. So it's not by chance that Krishna has devotees everywhere. That is Krishna's plan. But from our point of view, it may seem to be by chance that you come across a devotee. But actually, that's the purpose of the universe, the highest purpose of the universe. The lower purpose of the universe is that you get to act on your material desires and see the results. You become frustrated. What kind of world is this? Every time you read about or hear about a tragedy somewhere in the world, it makes you wonder. The ferry that capsized off of South Korea. So many school children. Who knows what is their fate? They're most likely hundreds are lost. And just think, these school children were on their way for a holiday trip. They're not thinking they're going to die. And you think they're just innocent school children. Yet, by the hundreds, they're lost. So that makes you think, what kind of world is this? If you are atheistic, you'll use such incidents to declare, just see, how can you say there's a God? How can a God allow such injustices to happen to innocent school children? Or else, as one prominent loudmouth atheist would say, even if there is a God, which there isn't, but if there is a God, he better get some education how to run the world properly. He'd better get it together. He obviously doesn't know what he's doing, that such things happen in the world. So we may have some twinges of even resentment subconsciously that why such a severe punishment for Nalakuva, Mani Griva. But then our concerns are resolved because they get to see Damodar Leela. They get to participate in Damodar Leela. Now, what was Damodar Krishna thinking as he approached the Yamalarjuna trees? He was thinking to himself, the acharyas point out, that I've got no business dealing with these demigod boys in the bodies of trees. I've got no business with the affairs of the heavenly planets, the sons of Kuvera and their celestial life and sense gratification. I've got nothing to do with that. But my devotee, my bhakta, Narada Muni, has said, given them the benediction, that I'll free them from their tree bodies. So, subservient to Narada Muni, my pure devotee's desire, I'll do it. I'll free them. Otherwise, on my own, I got nothing to do with these guys. So this shows you the power of the devotee, which is not by chance. It is according to Krishna's arrangement. So yadichchaya doesn't mean just random interaction, as perhaps some scientists would interpret the functioning of the universe. It seems to be causeless, but there is a cause. When we say causeless mercy, it means there's no apparent cause. But, of course, Krishna is Sarva Karna Karnam, the cause of everything. Now, leaving aside Nalakuva and Manigriva, we look at the situation of King Huhu, a Gandharva. Life on Gandharva Loka, you know, singing, dancing, artistry. The music, the dance, the artistic expression on the Earth planet is so paltry and so scarred compared to the artistry of Gandharva Loka. So here we see Gandharva Saptama. Not only a Gandharva, but the best of the Gandharvas, King Huhu. How did he turn out to be the best? Through being cursed. So, as you heard, he was sporting in the waters with young girls, and he thought to grab one of their gorgeous legs, temporarily gorgeous. When they're old ladies, he's not going to grab. When I was a little kid, I had an interesting hobby of collecting photos of old movie stars and comparing the photos to when they were young, you know, when they were in the peak of their stardom. It was quite revealing. These stunning beauties when they're in their 20s and 30s. And then you look at them when they're in their 60s and 70s. Well, obviously, King Hu wasn't thinking like that. He was overwhelmed by the circumstances. That's the nature of material life. You get overwhelmed. Your intelligence becomes overpowered. So he grabbed the leg of Devala Rishi, and Devala Rishi cursed him. You like to grab legs in the water? Better you be a crocodile. Crocodiles are always trying to snap their jaws on something in the water. So an appropriate form of life for you is a crocodile. But King Hu, as a crocodile, received the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Sudarshan Chakra of the Supreme Lord severed his mouth so the Gajendra elephant could pull his leg out. That means that Hu Hu, as a crocodile, came in personal contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He could see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The chakra of the Supreme Personality of Godhead finished off his crocodile body, and he appeared as a Gandharva. So Prabhupada explains in the purport. The Gandharva had the mentality of an inhabitant of the celestial planetary system. And for him to become an associate of the Supreme Lord would have taken millions of long years. However, because he was cursed by Devala Rishi, he became a crocodile, and in only one life was fortunate enough to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face and be promoted to the spiritual world to become one of the Lord's associates. So Srila Prabhupada is telling us that it's not that simply Hu Hu returned to his Gandharva life. No, he also went back to Godhead. So what do we say about this? We might be thinking, couldn't there be a better way? And when something happens to us, when we go through some choppy seas in the material world, we always say, Krishna, can't things happen in a better way? But a devotee is one who has learned the art of how to use so-called unfavorable circumstances to his or her bhakti advantage. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that actually for a devotee there are no unfavorable moments, because at one moment something looks unfavorable, but because of the skill of the devotee, the next moment it becomes most favorable. So we have to look at the whole picture in terms of the bhakti result. And because we are attached to material life, we have difficulty doing that. We want to enjoy this material world. So we question subconsciously, why did it have to happen like that? Couldn't there be another way to produce my bhakti advancement than my having to deal with the complexities, the issues, the bumpy roads in the material world? And indeed, those material setbacks, those material problems can be daunting. What was Bhishma Dev's reaction upon leaving, getting ready to leave this world and seeing his beloved Pandavas, seeing Kunti Devi? His eyes were filled with tears, thinking of all the suffering they went through. So it's not that a Vaishnav is just callous to the difficulties that living entities go through in the material world. It's not that we just say, anyway, it's all Krishna's mercy. Don't worry about it. We're not going to worry about you. No. Bhishma Dev, he's the greatest warrior, yet he's affected thinking about what the Pandavas went through, all their ordeals. How could this happen? He said, look at who's present amidst all these ordeals. You have Yudhisthira, who's Dharma personified. You have Bhima, the famous fighter with the club. You've got Arjuna with his bow. And Draupadi, she's practically the goddess of fortune. Yet they went through so many ordeals. Bhishma Dev just concluded, we just have to accept the inconceivable plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just think, what would you want? To go through millions of years as a Gandharva with the mentality of a heavenly planet enjoyer? Or in just one lifetime become a crocodile who's favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What would we take? We say, well, how about millions of years as a Gandharva and then go back to Godhead? Subconsciously, we fight back. Why is it either or? Why can't we have it all? Why doesn't Krishna do it in this way? That I enjoy the material world and I get to see Krishna too. So here we have the patient prescribing the medicine. The patient telling the doctor, here's the medicine I'd like from you. As if the patient knows the best. So when Krishna says sarva dharman prachaja mame kam sharanam vraja, as we were explaining at the Sunday program yesterday evening, he means you shut down your plan making factory and you accept his plan as the best. So that's the resistance that we have. No, what about my plan? I think, Krishna, there's a better way to deal with me. I'm here to tell you how to deal with me. I know. Just look at my track record. So that's why we feel a little rattled when we hear things like Devola Rishi cursing Huhu. He was doing all right, resident of the heavenly planets. He would have become a devotee in time. What's a few million years? Especially on the heavenly planets. But the more we are aware of the glories of the spiritual world, the more we understand that even the heavenly planets, in the slightest, they cannot compare to life in the spiritual world with Krishna. Krishna wants the best. He wants us to return to him. We've got to fix that in our mind. Otherwise, we'll get bewildered by the events and upheavals of the material world. What about Gajendra? That could be even more problematic. Who was Gajendra in his previous life? He was King Indradumna. And what was he doing? He wasn't sporting in the river with young girls. How did he get cursed? He had left his kingdom and he was performing yoga, meditation. He was a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And while he was meditating in samadhi, Agastya Muni comes along with his disciples, another extraordinary sadhu. And Indradumna doesn't react. He's in yogic trance. But Agastya Muni doesn't believe it. What is this? I don't even get a reception from this king? Is this king so undevotional and so callous? He doesn't greet me? So Agastya Muni cursed Indradumna that since you're so dull, since you're so insensitive, you will take birth as an elephant. Now, how are you going to get your mind around this one? King Indradumna was meditating on the Supreme Lord. He was fixed in his meditation. But he got cursed. Isn't this unfair? Isn't this unjust? We wonder, who's the justice minister in the cosmos? Who do you call when this happens? But just think. Indradumna took birth as Gajendra. He was an elephant, but he was personally freed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who touched him, pulled him from behind, pulled him out of the water, and then the Lord severed the mouth of the crocodile. By that touch, and Darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indrajumna, as Gajendra the elephant, went back to Godhead. So you might say, okay, we accept the outcome, but just the way things happen, it's not the American way. Where's the truth, the justice, the brotherhood, the one man, one vote? And it's not happening that way. He gets cursed for being in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he takes birth as an elephant. But you see, to go back to Godhead in one lifetime, that is very special. And we shouldn't take that for granted. Our opportunity in this lifetime to go back to Godhead. Even though we're living in the most degraded times, we can actually finish up our business in this lifetime. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has made approach to Him so easy in this worst age. That's why Bhagavatam says that great saints and sages worship Kali Yuga. Because amidst all the degradation of this age, you can easily go back to Godhead simply by chanting Hare Krishna. So we need to, in order to appreciate the history of King Huhu and King Indradumna, we need to understand that generally they, in those previous ages, you don't go back to Godhead after one lifetime of spiritual practice. We're taking all that for granted. In other words, we have special mercy available to us in spite of the darkness of the current age. Normally it takes many births, as Prabhupada explained about the Gandharva Huhu. For him to become an associate of the Supreme Lord would have taken millions of long years. And even Indradumna Maharaj, who was in Samadhi, still, the normal procedure would have been several births before entering the spiritual world. But Agastya Muni actually accelerated King Indradumna Maharaj's return to the spiritual world. Let's consider Prichit Maharaj. He was going through the forest as a chatur. He was practicing the killing arts by hunting animals. And he came upon the hut of Sharmika Rishi. Some other Prichit Maharaj, who could endure the heat of the Brahmastra in the womb of his mother Uttara, some or other he became thirsty, overwhelmed by thirst. And he entered the hut of Sharmika Rishi, and there was no reaction. No sweet words, no straw mat, no drink of water. These are things that the poorest person can offer, but there was nothing. So the first extraordinary thing is that Prichit Maharaj was overwhelmed by thirst. The second extraordinary thing is that he became angry. That personality, Prichit, who could contain the age of Kali personified, he became angry. And then the third amazing thing is that he cursed Sharmika Rishi. In a sense, with the tip of his bow, Prichit picked up a dead body of a snake and wrapped it around the shoulders of Sharmika Rishi as the Rishi was fixed in meditation. This was Prichit Maharaj's way of saying, you've been so cold and insensitive to me, now you will feel the cold body of a snake on your shoulders. Of course, when Prichit Maharaj returned to his palace, he began to lament. So how did all this happen? Especially because by that time, upon his return, the son of the Brahmana, Sringi, playing with young boys, made a curse that the king would die in 7 days. And Srila Prabhupada points out that this young Brahmana boy, Sringi, was powerful because of his father and also because of the good government of Prichard Maharaj. By Prichard Maharaj's social organization, there was an opportunity for a young boy to become such a powerful brahmana that he had the potency to curse. So what to make of all this? The proper vision, as the Bhagavatam explains, is to see that this is Krishna's plan to bring Prichard back to Godhead. Krishna wanted Prichard Maharaj in his association. He was pulling him out of all the affairs of managing the world. So again, you say, well, if that's the reward I get for being a faithful servant of the Lord, I get cursed by a brahmana boy to die in 7 days just because Krishna wants me with him. Again, isn't there a better way, Krishna, to deal with us? But just think, implicit in our protest is the thought that this material world is meant for our enjoyment. Krishna, let us stay in the material as long as possible. Make it good for us. Make it nice. Maybe not quite young girls in the river, but something like that. We don't believe Krishna when he says in Bhagavad Gita, Dukkhalayam Shashvatam, this material world's a miserable place. Anityam Asukam Lokam, it's temporary and unhappy. We don't really believe that. So subconsciously, we're thinking that the blessings of the Lord should be there to make this world a nice place. But Krishna, as the all-knowing Supreme Father, knows what is best for his children. You want to get out of the material world as quick as possible. So he made this arrangement for Prichard Maharaj. And by that arrangement of Prichard Maharaj leaving the world in 7 days, Srimad Bhagavatam had a chance to be spoken. Just as by Arjuna's becoming overwhelmed by Maya, Bhagavad Gita had an opportunity to be spoken. So these are all the plans of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but we'll never understand them if we remain attached to material enjoyment and the material world. Because the first thing that comes to our mind, either loudly or softly, is, I don't want to leave this world. I want a happy life. I want good times. But Krishna knows what is superior existence. As devotees, we should use our spot of a life to sample that superior existence by immersing in devotional service, by immersing in hearing and chanting about Krishna. Otherwise, we're sure to be bewildered because sooner or later, the material world shows its ugly realities. Ugly, that is, for one on the material platform. But as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, for a real devotee, there's nothing unfavorable. Because at one moment, things look unfavorable, circumstances look unfavorable. The next moment, they become an opportunity for spiritual victory. So therefore, the Bhagavatam is teaching us how to be a real devotee, how to use even material setbacks, discomforts, reversals, how to use those as accelerators in love of Krishna. So that's why we say the bhakti, art, science, and culture is topmost. Even what ordinarily appears to be a setback, whether a curse by a powerful sadhu or disease or even death, can be used to accelerate our immersion in love of Krishna. Krishna knows what is a superior reality. You see, there's no such thing as a nice death from the material point of view. You may think, oh, to die in a plane crash, to die in a car accident, how horrible. But to die peacefully in your sleep, oh, that's a good death. No, you don't see what's going on the inside. There's no nice death from the material point of view. But from the spiritual point of view, the best death, regardless of the circumstances, is when your mind is fixed on remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is so merciful that, as Prabhupada explains in one purport in the Bhagavatam, if the faithful devotee who has served Krishna all his or her life, at the time of death, happens to have the mind and body in disarray and can't focus. Krishna is so merciful that he can choose to force himself into the mind of his dedicated devotee. One last point. I was hearing about the departure of several years ago, maybe two or three years ago, of a god brother, maybe Sovastrabhu and Nikatmarbhu from Chicago. I don't know if you were there, you might remember him. Ramakali Prabhu. One would say, looking at his devotee years, one could say he had a tough time. He was kind of argumentative and always getting into spats with devotees, and he must have come to Krishna consciousness at a young age, and he wasn't an educated devotee, he wasn't suave, and so he had his ups and downs. So Shikimahiti Prabhu was telling me about this, because Shikimahiti Prabhu became Ram Kaili's caregiver when medically it was ascertained that he was terminally ill. And prior to that terminal illness striking, the Prabhu's sadhana wasn't the best. It was a bit rocky. But anyway, with the help of the devotees at New Talavan, where he went to leave his body, he focused. And the day that it was established he was departing, the nurse said, "He's going today." It was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day. So he's laying in bed. I heard this directly from Shikimahiti Prabhu, who was his caregiver. Ram Kaili Prabhu was laying in bed. It's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day. He's about to leave this world. And all of a sudden, he stands up in the bed and starts walking. "Bhaktivinoda! Bhaktivinoda! Bhaktivinoda!" And then he just collapses in the bed. And a year later, an hour later, leaves his body while devotees are chanting. Krishna's independent. Now, this is not an invitation to slack off on your sadhana. I think it's all going to work out. Bhaktivinoda will be there. And but it shows you that we have access through parampara to such extraordinary attention from Krishna. We don't know what that Prabhu did to somehow or other have his sincerity noted. We don't know. Externally, it looked a bit rough. We don't know all the time what's going on inside. So therefore, let us take it very seriously when Srila Prabhupada says, we have every opportunity to finish up our business in this lifetime and go back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.